Well, how fun is this? It's so fun. It's so fun being here with you. It doesn't seem that long ago that there was 20 of us in Sean and Haley's room plotting how we were going to plant this new church in Farnham. And here we are, three sites, a fab vision, and you're doing so well. I'm so proud of you. It's just brilliant to be here and see what God is doing amongst you and just sense the presence of God with you and catch a flavor of the momentum that is really with you. In terms of what we've just seen, just to give you a little bit of news of the Commission family, a little bit, well, not too far away. So this is a really, really important day for the Coin Church. Steve and Joe Petch are now leading the Coin Church. And today is the last day of it being the Coin Church, actually, because tonight Steve is going to roll out their new logo, their new name, their new culture, their new vision, and their new £4.5 million building project. And so, it's a really, really important day for the Coin Church, so please be praying for Steve and Joe and the rest of the team there. It's also a really important week for Centrepoint Church, Guildford, as well. This is a significant week for them because Boggs and Jill, who like Sean and Haley, established and planted the church there 14 years ago, they have decided they want to move on and plant another church, and to plant another church in Plymouth. So they're going to go to Plymouth. Their last Sunday is going to be here in Guildford on the Sunday, the 15th of July. And this week they have a special church meeting on Wednesday evening to announce who the new leader will be of Centrepoint Church Guildford. So some very exciting, important things happening. And in terms of us in Newbury, for those of you who don't know, Beverly and I planted the church in Camberley, and then out of Camberley with Sean and Haley and a team planted the church here at Farnham. And 3 years ago, Beverly and I moved to plant the church in Newbury. And we knew one person in Newbury, so that was a big kind of challenge, really. Happily, we know more than one person now. And I'm pleased to say that the church is doing well. I'm delighted to report that God has added some fantastic people to us. This year, we've seen three people make a clear decision for Jesus, so that's been very exciting for us. So, like you, we're enjoying the goodness and favor of God. In terms of, some of you also may not know the kind of family links that we have, the Landreth Smith family and the Gubb family and the Chart family as well. And so in case you weren't there last summer, because I know we would have liked you all to be there, just to remind you, this is the Gubb and Landreth Smith wedding. This is the Gubb and Landreth Smith wedding. So most of you will have heard about it, so I just thought, well, it's helpful for you to see it. So I just thought you'd like to see some of the now Gubb family as well. So Phoebe and Joe are doing really well. They're both doing really well in their own right, leading worship, but they've got this thing going where they kind of lead worship together, which is quite romantic. So yes, I thought you'd just like to see that, because it's a bit boring looking at me, I know. So if you've got a Bible, I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 24, or if you've got the Bible on your phone, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 24. I'm one of those preachers who doesn't mind it if you're on the phone, as long as you're texting how great the preacher is and Facebooking how wonderful the meeting is and all those kind of things and getting it out there. That's really fine by me. I know half an hour can be a long time listening to a preacher, so I don't mind if you get bored and do something else. That's okay. Luke 24. Now, this is verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in these last days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Lord, we really want to thank you for your presence here. We really want to thank you that we sense you very close. And we pray, Lord, as we look at your word and think about you, Jesus, that you will come closer still and walk with us right now and speak to us right now. May our hearts burn within us as we look at your word together now, Lord. I don't know about you, but I think the Christian life is trying to be like Jesus. Would you agree? And so I'm trying to be like Jesus. And so I'm very interested at the moment in these kind of narratives where Jesus has conversations with people. Because I don't know about you, I want to get better at having conversations with people and inviting people to things. And so I've been very taken by some of these narratives where Jesus meets people. So like when Jesus meets the woman at the well in John chapter 4, I've been looking at that and studying that and thinking, how does Jesus talk to people and how does Jesus listen to people, and how can I get better at talking to people, and how can I get better at listening to people? Because I just seem to mess it up a lot when I have opportunities, and I'm thinking, I just want to be better at this. And so I just want us to consider this particular narrative and work out together how we can learn from Jesus to be more like him in how we address people. So let's start again. Let's just look at it again. And I'm going to ask this question. What do you learn about Jesus in this narrative? Okay? So just have a little look at it. What do you learn about Jesus in this narrative? What can you learn about Jesus in this passage? And then the second question I want to ask you is, what can you learn in terms of being more like him? Okay? So I'm not just going to stand here and preach. I'm asking you to think about this. Okay, I'm asking you to think about what can you learn about Jesus from this passage, and how can you learn to be more like him? Okay? So I'm just going to pause. There's going to be a silence now for those of you who are listening, because all around the world, millions of people will be listening to this message during the week. Okay, so here we are in Luke 24. Okay, yeah, the road to Emmaus. Okay, so there's these two guys talking. Okay, this is what you're thinking, isn't it? This is you thinking. I'm helping you to think. Okay, so two guys going along. Yeah, okay, they're talking. And then I kept from recognizing him. Oh, Jesus kind of comes alongside. Oh, Jesus comes alongside and walks with them. Oh, okay, so Jesus comes alongside and walks with them. Oh, but they were kept from recognizing him. That's what you're thinking, isn't it? Jesus comes alongside and walks with you. So here's the first point. The first learning point is Jesus, this is very deep and profound, this one. Jesus wants to come alongside you and walk with you through your life. I know that's deep and profound, and you haven't heard that before. He really wants to. He really wants to walk alongside you. He really wants to walk alongside this sometimes difficult and sometimes trying life. He wants to walk alongside you and be with you. Jesus really likes you. He really wants to be with you. And it's really important that we engage with him personally, whether you're walking to school or walking to work or whether you're in the car. That might be your tabernacle or your tent of meeting, or the train might be your tent of meeting where you put your plugs in your ears and you've got that moment with God. It might be when you're at home alone, wherever you have your pustinia or your place of meeting with God. Jesus really wants to have a conversation with you. Let's make sure we're not too busy in our lives, even in church life, which can sometimes be busy enough, can't it, that we don't lose sight of the most important thing, the main thing, and let's make sure we keep the main thing, and that's you and me with Jesus, walking along with Jesus and talking with Jesus. I went with a friend to a restaurant recently, the guy who looks after our youth ministry, just to catch up with him and have lunch together and talk about it. How was it going? And we kind of squeezed into this booth, sat down next to us, very conscious of a couple next to us. They were a bit close, I thought, but anyway, they wanted to pack lots of people in. We sat down and we ordered and chatting away. And I was just very conscious. This couple sat down next to us. They spoke to each other as they arrived at the restaurant, and then they switched on their phones. And for the whole of the rest of the meal, they didn't actually speak to each other. They were both on their phones. I thought, how sad, and what an indictment on our present kind of culture that is. I was walking into town the other day, and as I walked into town, because it's kind of school time and children with their parents walking to school, the little ones walking, and I was watching a dad walking with his daughter to school. And the whole time that I followed them from my house into town with his daughter, he was on his phone. And I just thought, what a missed opportunity that is, not to engage in meaningful conversation, to teach, to love, to communicate, to educate, just to talk to your daughter. My children will tell you, one of them is 6 foot two, in case you hadn't noticed, but when we used to walk to school, I used to like walking to school with my children, and we would make it an adventure. I'd play games on the way to school. So one of the games this morning, we're going to have a safari on the way to. We're not going to school. We're going on safari. We're going to find as many creatures as we can on the way to school. It takes a bit longer to get to school that way, but I wanted to make sure that in these very few years that we have of walking our children to school, that it's powerful and meaningful, and they engage with their dad. Jesus wants the very same with you and me, that we can have meaningful conversation, walking through our lives with Jesus. The next bit is kind of curious, isn't it? The next bit, you're thinking, oh gosh, what is that? They were kept from recognizing him. Verse 16, okay, I'm just going to give you a moment to think about that. What does that mean, they were kept from recognizing him? Oh, God, why were they kept from recognizing him? Don't really know why they kept from recognizing him. Why were they kept from recognizing him? Did he have his hat pulled down over him? Maybe it's that kind of God thing where this veil comes down, it's all kind of mysterious. Why were they kept from recognizing him? Yeah, we don't really know. We don't really know why they were kept from recognizing him. There's lots of different theories. Some people say it was just God having fun. That might be. Some people were saying, oh no, it's because Emmaus was west of Jerusalem. It's 7 miles west of Jerusalem. It's obviously the end of the day, so they are traveling west, and the sun is going down, so they are walking towards the sun, and because the sun is bright, they can't really see the person next to them. That's why they're squinting, and they can't really recognize him. I'm thinking, I'm not sure about that myself, but people much cleverer than me say those sorts of things. And that's why they couldn't recognize him. We don't really know. But what's interesting is the next bit, isn't it? So look at the next bit. They were downcast. They're feeling upset. They're talking about what's happened. And then he says, what things? What things? Does that puzzle you? As if Jesus doesn't know what things. As if he doesn't know that he's been crucified and that he's been in the tomb and that he burst out. What things? It's kind of one of those kind of humorous moments in the scriptures, isn't it? One of those kind of funny things that happens in the Bible. So I think to myself, why did Jesus say what things? Okay, I'm going to ask this. This isn't a rhetorical question. This is a real question because I want you to help me understand this what things. Okay, what do you think Jesus meant at this moment? Why did he say what things? Dave.
He wanted to know what was important to them.
He wanted to know what was important to them. That's good, Dave. That's good. Dave says good things. Why else could Jesus have said what things? Maybe, could be. He was setting them up to fall and show their ignorance. That certainly happened later on.
He's interested
in... Oh, yes! This is a good guy, Steve. Keep Steve. Steve's good. You got some good guys here. I think so. Jesus is really, get this, because Steve said it. Jesus is really interested in you. He's really interested in what's on your heart. He's really interested in how you're feeling. He's really interested in how it's going at school. He's really interested in how's it going at football. I mean, you know, I know the season's coming to an end. You know, are you injury free? How you doing? You know, you keeping me first? Jesus is really interested. Jesus is really. He's really glad I came today. Jesus is really interested in you. Of course he knows all about you. Of course he knows what you're thinking. Of course he knew what things had happened in Jerusalem. But he's interested in you. He wants to build a really close relationship with you. He wants to know what's troubling them and what's on their heart. Why are they fearful? How are they feeling? Why are you walking this way? I was crucified there. And that's where the church is meeting. That's where everybody is. Why are you walking? Why are you going this way? Why are you walking away? I'm interested to know why are you going in the other direction. He's interested in you and me, and wants to know. So I'm thinking, I was coming out of the gym recently, and don't be impressed because. As my children tell me, Dad, when you go to the gym, you're supposed to work out. You're not supposed to just go there and sit and read your Bible and talk to people. So I was walking out of the gym, and I saw a blind man with his dog, and he was stumbling into a building site, and I thought, that doesn't look good. So I walk over to the blind man, and I said, excuse me, are you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm just on my way home. I said, through a building site. Oh, am I near a building site? I said, yeah, you're about to walk into a building site. I don't think that's a good idea. He said, oh, can you point me to the station? And I said, you're quite a long way from the station. Am I? I said, yeah. I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't I take you home? I think that's probably easier, isn't it? Why don't I take you and your dog home? Would you do that? He said. I said, yeah, I'll do that, yeah. So he got in the car. And as we're driving along, he says, actually, can we go shopping? So I said, go shopping. I thought I was taking you home. He said, no, I'd like to go shopping with you. I said, okay. So we went shopping. That was an interesting experience for me, walking around Marks and Spencer's with a blind man. And then I said, so we've got everything? He said, yes. I said, should we go home now? And then he said, actually, no. He said, can we go for a coffee? I said, you want to go for a coffee now? He said, yes. I said, okay, let's go for a coffee. So then we had a coffee, and then I said, can I take you home now? And he said, I said, you don't really want to go home now on your own, do you? I tell you what, why don't you come to my house for dinner? I think you'd probably like to come to my house for dinner with me and my wife, wouldn't you? He said, yeah. So I text Bev. Just to let you know. So arrive at the door, ring the doorbell. Bev opens the door, me, the blind man, and the dog. Bev hasn't got the text. You can tell, can't you? Just as you open the door and the look on the face. Hi, Bev. This is my new friend, Craig, and Dory. So we have fun and we have dinner and then he says, I haven't had so much fun in a long time. And then he says, there's something different about you. And I thought, I know what he's thinking. This is my big moment. I know. He's sensed the anointing. Thank you, Lord. I said, there is. He says, there is. I said, what do you think it is? I thought, here we go. He said, you're unlike other people because you're not in a hurry. That was such a moment for me because I so am. I mean, it sounds good, doesn't it? But all the whole time, I need to be honest with you, those 2 hours, I was looking at my watch thinking, this is taking a very long time. When am I going to get him home? I thought I was just going to get him lift home. He wants to go shopping, he wants to have coffee, now he's come back to my house. So I said to him, I tell you what I said, on Thursday evening, you can come to dinner again, but not here, somewhere else, because we're doing this thing called Alpha. And I think you'll really like it, because the people are really nice, and we have a really nice meal, and we're going to talk about God, and we're going to talk about Jesus. So I'd like to invite you to come. Would you like to come? He said, yes, I would. Comes on Alpha, loves it. At the end of Alpha, one Sunday morning, gives his life to Jesus. I'm in such a hurry. I'm in such a hurry the rest of the time. And I just want to get better at this. I just want to get better at being like Jesus, talking to people. Yesterday morning, I went out for a run. Beverly and I run twice a week. I went out for this run yesterday. I came back from the run. We were at a hotel for the day yesterday because we had our leadership team together. And I got back from the run. It's really kind of inconvenient, to be honest. I'm really sweaty. I'm really tired. And there's a guy standing on the patio having a fag. And I just thought, I was just going to say hello to this chap. Chat. Oh, where are you from? Oh, what are you doing today? Oh, you know, I've got church leadership team here. What are you doing? Oh, we're going to a wedding. I said, oh, you know, is that church thing? Are you going to a church thing? He said, yeah, we're going to a church thing. Yeah. I said, what time's that? Oh, 1 o'clock. I said to him, so apart from going to weddings, do you go to church? Do you have God in your life? And then he said, I did until the 17th of August, 1996. That's what he said. I said, what? You can remember the moment you had God in your life and then you didn't. He said, yes. I said, what happened? And then he told me this tragic, tragic story. I thought, well, I can't just rush off, go and have a shower, rush off to doing what I'm doing. So just sat and listened to this terrible, terrible story. But I think I just want to be like Jesus. I just don't feel I'm so good at it, but I want to be like him. What things? So I'm saying to this guy, so what happened? And so he told me the story. See, because I think walking the Christian life is trying to walk like Jesus through it and encountering people. You might not feel that you are very good at explaining the gospel. You might not feel that you're an evangelist. You might just chuck it all around, shall we? You might not feel that you're very confident, but it might be as simple as saying, what things? So what happened? It might be as simple as saying, I just wondered, we've got this really interesting series happening at church. I just wondered if I could give you this, and you might like to come along on one of the Sundays, and that might change a person's life forever. One of the things that changed my life forever was going to someone's house for a meal, because I hadn't been invited to anybody's house for a meal as a teenager, and I went to someone's house for a meal, and before the meal, they did something really unusual. They prayed grace. And I hadn't seen that before. I hadn't seen anybody pray. And so I just looked at this guy as he prayed, and I thought, he really thinks someone's listening. And that was a real puzzle to me. Because we can get used to our church culture, can't we? And it's very natural for us. We're in each other's houses. We have lots of meals together. We're praying all the time. We pray before meals. And for someone like me, who was 19, watching someone, hearing someone pray for the first time, it was a very powerful moment. So your big moment and the big moment in your friend's life might be just saying, would you like to come for dinner? Sean, would you like to come for dinner? I'd really, really love it if you came for dinner. And you pray and something happens. It was like a little boom in my heart, that moment. I was like, whoa, what? Praying to God. He thinks there's a God. He thinks God is in him. What? What is that? That was part of my journey in coming to know Jesus. What things? So I was in the bank the week before last, and I'm standing in the bank, and I'm not very patient in the bank, and I'm trying to be open to the Holy Spirit, but I'm really not very impatient, because you know what it's like. You've only got your lunchtime, and you've got your 30-minute thing on the parking, and you've got a lot to do. And the very smiley lady says, oh, hello, did you have a nice weekend? And I said, I had a really exciting weekend. She said, really? She said, what happened? I said, I went to church. She's like, come again? I said, honestly, church is just so exciting. It's such a fantastic place to be. I just can't tell you how exciting it is. She said, and then she went quiet, and then she said, I used to go to church. I said, what happened? What things? What happened? And then she told me the sad story. And by this time, I'm very self-conscious because the queue is stacking up. And I'm like, I'm doing that worried thing that I do, that self-conscious thing. And I said, so is it time you tried again? Is it time you tried God again? Is it time you went back to church and tried again? Because what I've discovered is this, in my talking to people, I've come to the realization that actually there's lots of people out there, and lots of our friends, and lots of people that we live by, who are not actually anti, but used to go to church, or have had some encounter, but just don't go to church. There's just a lot of churchless people. people, aren't there? Have you noticed that? And so I'm talking to more and more people and finding more and more people who used to go to church or who had an encounter with God or went to church when they were little. They just don't go to church anymore, and they've just kind of lost their faith for whatever reason or just don't. And by asking the simple things, being like Jesus, so what things? What happened? So I was on my way to Parkrun with my neighbour, because that's the reason I go to Parkrun, is to talk to people and meet people. So I was going with my neighbour to Parkrun, and I said to him, so did you ever go to church then, Steve? And he said, yeah, I did, yeah. I said, so you don't anymore then? He said, no. I said, so what happened? What things? What things? And then out comes the story, and I just thought, oh, crumbs. Now, I didn't really know what to say after that, but I thought, but that's okay, because I'm going to see him again. But I'm trying to be like Jesus and ask the right questions, because Jesus asked some really, really good questions, didn't he, when he was talking to people? So what things is a really good question, isn't it? So what's troubling you? What's on your heart? Or what do you want me to do for you? It's another great question, isn't it, that Jesus asks us. What do you want me to do for you? I think, man, that's a great question. A woman caught in adultery, so where are your accusers? Where are they? I don't see any. Your sins are forgiven. He's just so good at asking questions, isn't he? And I think, I just want to be better at this what things. better at asking the questions. And sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I just don't know what to say and clam up, and I just feel, why did I say something? I don't know if you're ever like that or if that's just me. Sometimes I just think, and then afterwards I can think of something really great. I think of something really great that I should have said. Why can't I think of those things on the spur of the moment? But one of the interesting things for me is, just turn to this verse and let's just look at this. Where did I put my glasses? Oh, thanks. So they're walking along with Jesus. He says, what things? And then what's interesting to me is this verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one. So I just find that really interesting. So here's the admission of the disappointment. Okay, this is the admission now. This is a very important part of the conversation. So Cleopas and his friend, we'd hope he was the one. So that they're being vulnerable about how they're feeling now. And to be honest with us, some of us might be feeling like that. Well, I had hope that God was going to answer that prayer. I had hoped that in this marriage it was going to be different. I had hoped I was going to get that job. I had hoped that my medical diagnosis would not be that. Your disappointment might be just as real as the disciples, but in a different personal way. I wonder what your disappointment is. I had hoped it just hasn't. This wasn't how it was supposed to work out. We thought he was the one. We thought he was going to deliver us. We thought he was going to deliver us from the Romans, establish a new kingdom, establish a new empire. We thought that he was the one, and now he's dead. So they're distressed. They're depressed. They're disappointed. Their minds are whirling. They're running away from it all because, well, we had hope that he was the one. This wasn't supposed to be like this, that he was dead. And then, of course, he carries on walking with them, carries on walking and listening, and then tells them how foolish they are, how slow of heart. The Simpson versions of the Bible says, duh. And then I love this in verse 29. Jesus acted as if he was going further. It's another of those kind of comic moments, isn't it? Well, bye then. Nice talking to you. Wait. Don't leave us. Come and stay. Come and tell us more. I'll let you think about why did he make it look like he was moving on? I'll let you think about that, because there's a very important truth and revelation in that as well. That can be something that you talk about in small group this week. Why did Jesus act as if he was going on and then came back again? And then finally, they go back. Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Some of you need to go back. Sometimes we need to go back to go forward. Sometimes you need to go back to where it happened in order to move forward. Sometimes you need to go back to the place. You might need to go back to the person. You might need to go back to the memory. Find Jesus in that place, in that person, in that memory, in order to move on and be free. Because then Jesus does that appearing, disappearing, reappearing thing. He disappeared and he reappeared for fun. Why did he do that? Don't really know. I think he's having fun. Watch the movie Risen, and they do that really, really well, the appearing, disappearing, reappearing thing. Tom and Bev and I watched it week before last. It was good. Don't show it to your children, though. It's a bit gory. And so he reappears again. Verse 36, here we go. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Why did he say that? Why didn't he just say, "Hello"? Why did he say, "Peace to you"? Sorry, you can tell me. I want to learn from you as well. Why did he say peace to you? Sorry? Right. Yes. That's really good. So they're there. They think Jesus has died. The doors are locked. Jesus appears among them. Makes them jump. Yes, he did. Makes them jump. It's frightening. Jesus suddenly appearing and the doors locked. And also because they were distressed. They were anxious. They were depressed. They were very troubled. So for some of you, the most important thing you need to hear this morning is peace to you. Jesus is here in this room. And with all that you're facing, that all that's going on in your life, I didn't think it was going to be this way. The most important thing for you this morning is peace to you. I think it's really interesting, the promise in Isaiah, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. You mean you're not going to take me out of the waters? When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. I just think, you mean you're not going to take me out of it? I'd rather you took me out of it. No. But I will be with you. I'll be with you till the very end. I will always be with you. I will never leave you. Other people might have left you. You might have been disappointed, let down, abandoned by other people. But I am never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you. So as we come to a close now. For some people, you just need to know his peace right now. So let's pray about that first, shall we? Yeah. I'm going to ask you to do a really hard thing now. If you know that's you, there's going to be a moment and only a moment of embarrassment.